They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In describing the sixth day of creation, we read in Genesis chapter 1, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kind. And it was so." Today, again with me is Dr. Tommy Mitchell. We're going to be talking about some of those living creatures, those creatures that were creeping on the earth and walking on the earth. And we're going to be talking about dinosaurs. So I'm not just talking to a dinosaur today. I'm talking about dinosaurs with Dr. Tommy Mitchell. Welcome.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the intro.
And look, you know, if you're listening to this and you've got children, get them to listen to this one with us, because we're going to have some fun having a chat about what dinosaurs are all about and what we can know about dinosaurs from God's word. So, you know, let me just firstly ask you, are there dinosaurs in the Bible?
We think so.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the book of Job, chapter 40, there's a creature called Behemoth.
Mm.
And that creature, when you read the description, it sure sounds like a sauropod dinosaur. Now, what I tell people when I'm on the road and we talk about dinosaurs is that there's no creature in our present understanding that fits that description better than a dinosaur. So when I get to heaven and, you know, the Lord's going to show me what Behemoth actually looked like, my suspicion is we're going to be looking at a sauropod dinosaur. But we have to be careful about making definitive statements. But It sure sounds like that's a dinosaur.
It sure does. And, you know, I grew up, as you know, I'm 20 years younger than Ken. I like to tell people all about that. But, you know, I grew up on some of those pictures from you know, my teenage years, seeing people try to put the hippopotamus tail and the elephant tail on, you know, on this huge, great, big creature. And it just, it's not the tail that swings like a cedar, as described in Job, right? It really describes something that you would think is on something like a sauropod or something like that, right?
Well, absolutely. And again, those are the images sometimes we'll use in our conferences. You'll put a huge tail on a hippopotamus or an elephant, and you'll ask people, does this look like it fits? Well, of course it doesn't. And that's why, you know, chief of the ways of God, tails like a cedar, the sinews in his force. And you're talking about a massive, very impressive creature. And I can't think of a description of a sauropod that's any better than that. I mean, what an amazing creature that must have been.
So, you know, if it's talking about this, and the verse we were talking about there, you know, we read the word behemoth, but we don't see the word dinosaur anywhere. Why not?
Well, the word dinosaur is actually a new word. Most people don't understand that over the years, you know, new words come into existence. And the word dinosaur didn't exist until 1841. It was coined or created, if you will, by a British scientist, Sir Richard Owen, one of the most prominent scientists of his day. And he was one of the first people to actually systematically study the fossils of these creatures. You know, as the ships of England would bring these specimens back from all over the world, he was one of the first people to really kind of study and analyze these bones. And he was fascinated, as any of us would have been. And he was the person that actually invented the word dinosaur. It means terrible lizard. So if the word didn't exist until 1841, you know, it's a relatively new word. So if you look, so for example, the King James was completed in 1611. That's still the most commonly used English translation. Well, that's 230 years before the word existed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that makes perfect sense as to why you wouldn't see it in modern translations. So let me ask you, that one of the things that comes out is dinosaurs is used so extensively by people to say, well, see, you know, dinosaurs proves millions of years, because people associate dinosaurs and the fossils, that the fossil record, with millions of years. So talk to us about the dinosaurs and the fossils.
Well, but you're exactly right. I mean, people look at dinosaurs as proof of evolution. They're actually what some people call an icon of evolution. Mm-hmm. Look at these creatures. They're obviously millions of years old. And I hear that a lot. They're obviously millions of years old. Well, why do people think of dinosaurs that way? Well, what proof do we have that dinosaurs existed? We have their fossils. Mm-hmm. Well, look at these fossils. They're in these rock layers. These rock layers are obviously millions of years old. So dinosaurs are then held out as proof of evolution. They're obviously, 65 million years old or 140 million years, whatever, because people look at the rock record and all they see is the millions of years, because that's what they've been taught.
And it's like, it's in rock layers and millions of years old. This is our evidence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what they don't understand is that's just an interpretation of the evidence. Again, when people come to the Creation Museum, they're amazed to see dinosaurs everywhere. We have sound biblical scientific answers about dinosaurs, and we certainly don't believe the Earth is millions of years old. We believe the Earth is roughly 6,000 years old. Well, how do we come to that conclusion? Because we have a different interpretation of the evidence. How did those fossils get there? Well, there was an event in history called the Flood. Mm. The great fountains of the deep breaking open, the worst cataclysm the world's ever seen, sedimentation on a global cataclysmic, catastrophic scale, burying billions of creatures in unimaginable amounts of sediment. We can explain the vast majority of the fossil record on the basis of the Flood. How did those creatures get there? They were trapped in the sediment of the Flood of Noah's day. They're only a few thousand years old. Now, a secular scientist would look at that same fossil that we might be looking at and say, well, it's obviously 200 million years old. Mm. Well, we're looking at the same fossil. It's not about the evidence. It's about how you interpret the evidence.
And it's a fossil that we're holding now,
and it's
right?
A fossil
in its present.
We're holding now. What you have is the fossil in the present. You're looking at the physical evidence now, and you're interpreting something about the past. But see, your starting point determines your conclusion. Your worldview determines or guides or somehow, that's the guiding force for your interpretation of the evidence. Your starting point determines your conclusion.
Now, if you come into the museum, actually, that is very well explained in the very first room
Absolutely.
Of the museum, right?
And I think a lot of people are surprised about that. They come to the museum and they know this is a museum that takes a stand on biblical authority. So when they walk through the museum, the first thing they think they're going to see is Genesis 1. And that's not what they see. The first thing they see, the first exhibit, is a dig site. We've got a recreation of two scientists excavating a fossil. One scientist is a creationist, the other is an evolutionist. And on the screens behind the exhibit, we have these two scientists interpreting this fossil evidence for the people. And people are kind of amazed. Well, you come to two totally different conclusions, because one scientist starts with millions of years in evolution, believes in an old Earth in that sense, and the other scientist is a young Earth creationist. God's Word's true from the very first verse. Genesis is real history. So he explains that fossil being trapped in sediment on the basis of the Flood. So one scientist says it's 200 million years old. The other scientist says it's roughly 4,300 years old. And see, people are really surprised to see that as the opening part of the museum, because what we want people to know is this is not a battle of evidence. It's not about finches and fossils and rock layers. It's about how you interpret the finches, the fossils, and the rock layers. Mm. So dinosaurs are not icons of evolution at all. Mm. In my mind, they're missionary lizards.
Yeah. And look, we're going to get to that and talk about that a lot more in just a minute. But, I wanted to bring up something even before you get to the starting points room, because you're walking into the museum, into the Creation Museum. And by the way, for anybody who hasn't been here, it's only around about 10 minutes away from the Greater Cincinnati Airport, just in northern Kentucky, just outside of Cincinnati. Anyway, you walk into the foyer just before you walk into the museum, and you see two baby dinosaurs playing with human children.
Right.
Now, one of the big deals about that is people say, no, dinosaurs and people, they didn't exist together.
Well, that's just not correct from a biblical standpoint, because the land animals were made on day 6 of creation week along with what? Man.
Mm.
So people and dinosaurs would walk the earth together. Who says? Well, God's Word directly says that. And so many people are baffled when they come and they see this area next to our little waterfall and pond in the foyers you mentioned, because the two animatronic children are next to the animatronic dinosaurs, and they're so baffled. How can you have people and dinosaurs walk together? Well, God's Word says they were on the earth together. I mean, that's plain from the Word of God.
And when I read that verse at the beginning, I really only read half of the day 6, because I didn't read about man being created in God's image on the same day.
Right, exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So do you think then there is, say, evidence around the world that people have actually seen dinosaurs?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And again, that's one of the things we bring out here at the museum. And when we do our conferences, this is one of the things we talk about extensively. There are things around the world, they're called pictographs or petroglyphs, and they're either cave drawings or cliff drawings. And you find that in lots of places around the world, and they're called pictographs or petroglyphs depending on whether they're drawn, painted, or carved. And you have a lot of debate among in scientific communities about what some of these things mean. You know, the anthropologists and sociologists still say, well, we're not sure what this particular symbol or that particular symbol is. But the general understanding is it's a basic information system. It's a way people would record information, you know, the cultures of the people that lived in those areas. And very frequently in these caves or on these walls, you see images of things that look exactly like dinosaurs.
And couldn't be anything else.
Frankly, if you look at those, the first thing you think about is dinosaur. I mean, they're actually internet websites, you know, things that not that we're associated with even, that are dedicated to images of pictographs and petroglyphs and all these images. Mm-hmm. Just go look at some of those websites. I mean, you'll look at those things and the first thought you'll have is, wow, that's got to be a dinosaur.
Well, it's not any other recognized animal.
It's not any other animal that we would recognize. And the thing I tell people is, how did those images get there? Who painted or who carved those? Well, I submit that they were put there by the people in that area and they were actually reproducing or recording an image of something that was in their own common experience and something that they saw from day to day.
Well, people would say, though, well, if dinosaurs were around at the same time as humans and they saw them, these pictures are actually pictures of dinosaurs, how could that be? Because dinosaurs have these great big meat-eating teeth. They would have ripped them apart, you know, all of that sort of thing. So how could they even exist together? How could Noah have taken these, you know, flesh-ripping creatures onto the ark?
Well, what does God's word tell us that we were to eat in the beginning? When God said his creation was very good, the animals and man were vegetarian. They ate plants only. Mm. Now, it wasn't until after the flood that we're given the biblical okay to eat meat. Now, we do know that before the flood, some animals became carnivorous. We've got evidence in the fossil record of animals that have ripped each other up, things like that. But I submit that the animals on the ark wouldn't have been a danger to Noah and his family because they would have been vegetarian. After the flood, we know that a lot of other animals, became vegetarian. But in our world today, we've got lions and tigers that are strict vegetarian. Mm. We've got video clips that we show in our talk of great white sharks eating kelp or alligators eating kumquats. You know, bears, when they come out of hibernation, will eat plants. Very nice. And if you bother them, they'll be glad to eat you too. But, animals, just because they have long teeth, all that means is they have long teeth. A lot of animals have, long teeth and claws, are plant eaters today.
Yeah. Okay. So, when we're thinking about this, then we don't see them around living today. Well, why not?
Well, as far as we know, the dinosaurs are gone. I mean, occasionally we get a report from the Congo or from the Amazon of some creature that sure, by description could be a dinosaur, but nobody's ever been able to actually capture or record this on film. But as far as we know, they're gone. But we live in a fallen, cursed world. In our own lifetime, any number of creatures have gone extinct. The dodo bird. There was a time people were concerned the American bald eagle was going to go extinct. Fortunately, it's not on the endangered species list anymore, and I'm glad we have endangered species programs. But the problem is we live in a fallen, cursed world. Sometimes food supplies change, disease, predator patterns, any number of reasons that creatures can go extinct. And as far as we know, the dinosaurs finally just lost their ability to continue to survive. Like any number of other creatures we know of in our world.
Mm-hmm. They died out.
They died out.
Okay. Okay, so we talked about them being missionary lizards. How are they missionary lizards?
Look at the fossil record. Go to the Grand Canyon, look at the rock layers, look at the fossil record, billions of creatures being trapped inside. What that speaks of is judgment, God's judgment. But it also speaks of something else. It speaks of God's promise of salvation. Mm. I tell people a lot that one of my favorite places to preach or speak is at the Grand Canyon because it's such a monument to God's judgment, but it's also a monument to God's promise of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And, we can really understand, when we understand the history that is in Scripture and we use God's word to know what is in the world, we can really see not only the truth of God's word, but that redemptive thread, that gospel of Jesus Christ that runs right through it, right?
That's right.
And it's just fantastic. And it's a privilege to be in this ministry to point people
out.
It
absolutely is.
So, You know, I want to finish by asking you, what sort of things can people get to help them with this?
Well, we've got lots of resources about dinosaurs. In Ken Ham's book, The Great Dinosaur Mystery Solved, lots of resources for children, Dinosaurs for Kids, D is for Dinosaurs. Probably our most popular children's DVD is Dinosaurs, Genesis, and the Gospel. It's a wonderful presentation by Ken Ham and Buddy Davis. And it's got a full gospel presentation on it. It's a wonderful teaching tool for children. It's a wonderful witnessing tool for children.
And many, many more, including come to the museum.
Come to the museum.
And see them as well. So love to have you here with us. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Tommy Mitchell, for being with us and talking to us about dinosaurs that really help us engage with the true history that is in God's Word and that history that points us to salvation in our wonderful, blessed, glorious Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for being with us. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.